Let us begin. In history, we face the uncomfortable truth that men would rather put the realm to the torch than let a woman sit on the throne. This is The Quest for Power.
Welcome to the Quest for Power campaign, Legends of the Lost Kingdoms, where we are rating and reviewing the monarchs of the Celtic Anglo Isles from the early High Kings of Ireland to sometime before the rise of Charlemagne.
Charlotte who?
I am, as always, this guy named Charlemagne. I don't know. Some guy I heard about.
Okay. Yeah.
As always, I am your unreliable narrator, host Michael, and you already heard who joins me on this adventure every week, or every episode.
It is me, Roberto, here to put some earworms into you and make fun of all these rulers. Who decided to pick the Irish?
We'll get to that, but before we begin, so season 5, it was a nice little, you know, good pilot season for the direction of Quest for Power. We did multiple kings in an episode, we did multiple kings as one, but now we're going to turn it up a notch. Every season is essentially going to be an entire video game main quest. Season 6 is Legends of the Lost Kingdoms. Each story is going to be broken into story arcs, which many main quests have, but except for it's going to be an excessive amount of story arcs, just the way these narratives kind of flow. And within each story arc, we have what we have today, an episode. And it's like just a simple little quest. It might be a fetch quest. It might be we're end up in the Hell of Blackreach. It's all part of the grand story that will relate to the overarching title, Legends of the Lost Kingdoms, and you'll kind of get the feel of why it's called that. We will be releasing these twice a month, and the name of the episodes who we're going to rank for that episode, but as always, you're going to have to listen to everything prior if you want to know what's going on, unless you just want the ranking part, which I don't need to tell you how to listen. That's on you.
I mean, I will definitely tell you how to listen, and that is listen to everything starting from episode 1.
That's Roberto. He's the boss. I say yes, sir.
Okay. So, but then, okay, I have the listeners first fetch quest if we're doing fetch quests.
Oh, what's okay. This fetch quest?
So the fetch quest is you have to go to questforpower.com and sign up for Fourth Wall.
Thequestforpower.com.
There you go. Thequestforpower.com.
And if you go to questforpower.com, you're going to be sent to daddy site.
Well,
oops. To be fair, it's GoDaddy, but it's still better to say it the other way.
Well, join thequestforpower.com and join our Fourth Wall to get access to the whole season.
Yes, yeah. Great little intro. That what Roberto's talking about is that at the $10 tier, you get the entire season. So right now we're going to be releasing twice a month of these episodes. But if you want the entire, or not season, story arc, so this one will be about 4 episodes. If you want the entire story arc of this episode of this current art story, you can go find it right now. It's already loaded into the questforpower.com. So
Michael's the boss cool in this there. Regard.
At the $5 warrior tier, you can get access to the kingdom in Discord. Shout out in a future episode, which again, we record way in the future, so it will happen. You just don't know when. And it's kind of a surprise. It'll be exciting. Little birthday present. And you get premium episodes on your own private RSS feed. You won't have to use two RSS feeds the way we have it set up, as you can just use one for all your hearts and desires.
And then the best part is you can get your own Quest for Power branded mug, so you can drink your poisoned whiskey. I mean, your coffee.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, your Irish coffee.
There we go. An Irish coffee. Yeah. Get an Irish cream coffee in there.
There you go. We're yeah. See,
Ireland now. Yes. All righty. Let's move on.
Our first premium story was chosen by Roberto. He got to choose between monarchies of Star Wars, pharaohs of Egypt, great houses of Westeros, and the monarchs of Tolkien's Legendarium. And for some odd reason, he chose ancient Egypt. So, for the first two premium episodes, which you can get at the $10 tier, but whenever we put up the episodes for the $5 tier, that whole story arc, the way the story arc tier works is the same exact way with the premium episodes as it will with the main quest episodes, if that's not too confusing. But he chose ancient Egypt, so we'll be diving into the dungeons of Pharaoh's past in a very confusing campaign called the Curse for Power, or Cove Power. I think it's of Power.
Curse of Power, yeah.
Yeah, Curse of Power, the name that you came up with before you were a co-host.
See, I was already influencing the show. It was meant to be.
It really was. So look on the announcement for social media when that becomes available sometime, whenever we get it edited.
We do. But I think the fans aren't here for the fourth wall just yet. I think they're here.
Oh, God, no, no.
No, they're here for something else, something entirely different. They're here to hear about our new ruler, whose name I do not know. Who is it, Michael?
We'll find out. Not going to find out quite yet.
We got after these messages.
Lot of backstory yet. We got a whole little backstory yet.
Okay, so what is
beginning
this?
With?
Okay, so Fall of Rome, asked, obviously.
You asked for the Heptarchy in England.
Yes.
This is all on you. You know how I operate. And you're going to get way more than you ever bargained for. In order to tell the story of the original Seven Kingdoms, not the ones that George R. R. Martin stole off from, you need to understand the world in which they formed. And while researching their formation, the concept of the Legends of the Lost Kingdoms formed in my mind for Season 6, since they're kind of... It's a bunch of petty kings of Ireland, Scotland, Wales, and later the Heptarchy.
So are they just like super aggressive with each other?
Just a little aggressive.
Like,
a lot of
super
aggressive
passive aggressive.
A lot of aggressive negotiations going on. I like that. mean, there's pettiness involved, that's for sure. I don't know if it's passive, though.
No, they got the passive of passive aggressive. It's just aggressive.
Yeah.
It's England. Who are we kidding? It's the UK. So, sorry. No, it's the British Isles. Sorry, UK is not a thing yet.
Or the Celtic Anglo Isles, as I like to call it, so that way we don't have to use British. I don't know. It's whatever you want to call it.
It's not a British invasion just yet.
No, it is not. And to give you a little sense of where we're heading to and how everything's going to interconnect, we're going to give you a little trailer for this season. Ireland has the most depth when it comes to history. So we begin there with several centuries of petty kings playing the Game of Thrones. Then we have over in Britannia, as the Irish petty kings are going at it, the Romans are going to invade in full around 43 CE and conquer up to where they build Hadrian's Wall around 122 CE. Yes,
wait
you're
a second.
Right. Julius does invade way before then. You're correct.
No, wait. I thought this podcast was from the Fall of Rome.
Oh, yeah. In order to tell the story of where you're at the Fall of Rome, you need to know everything prior, because I tried to do it at the Fall of Rome, and it didn't work. Because you don't understand where the world is at. I went into Ireland and England at that time and went, no, this is not going to work. This will be more confusing than... ancient Egypt. So
God, what
we're
have
gonna
you
way
done
back.
You're a pink pony girl.
This is Roberto. This is your fault, not mine. I take no responsibility.
Oh man. Oh mama, I'm just having fun on the stage in my heels. It's where I've been long down at the Pink Pony Club. Okay, that's good. All right, let's get into the backgroundy stuff.
All right, the Romans are going to go up to the Antonine Wall in 142 CE, but they didn't really hold it that well. And the Romans, they're going to do Roman things, such as wipe out the existing power structure, subjugate the people, commit atrocities on the locals, and then Romanize them and call it peace.
If you want to hear more about this, go listen to Totalis Rancium, Roman Emperors.
At this time, we have the Scots and other Irish in Ireland. We have the Picts in Scotland. And then we have the Romano-British in England and Wales. So the Roman legions abandoned Britain around 409 CE, leaving the Romano-British completely fucked. Their petty kingdoms, a bunch of petty kingdoms arise in this power vacuum, because as power always shrinks away, you know, people are going to try and rise to fill it. And people are going to have to hunker down and prepare for chaos and slaughter. All economic ties are severed. Total war breaks out between each of these little kings. The Picts, who saw an opportunity to launch an invasion and were always raiding into Roman England, they march all the way down to the southern coast of Britannia. So we have this complete breakdown of Roman society. Massive chaos explodes across the island. And then the Jutes, Saxon, and Angles see this happening, and they invite themselves over to join some fun.
I mean, why wouldn't you?
And, you know, we're going to have more party of death and destruction, burning torches, you know, just slaughter. And a group of the Irish known as the Scots, which will be descended from one of the families that we'll talk about in our series, will be pushed into modern-day Scotland, hence the name Scotland, by other Irish kings.
Scotland.
So we're going to have a bunch of marriages, wars, assassinations, you know, all the good Game of Thrones stuff in between these groups. And while that's going on, there's going to be some Scandinavian raiders who are going to want a piece of this pie. That's where we're headed.
Skjold!
No. Bad.
What?
We do not talk about the purple incarnate of Satan.
Let's go, Vikings! Let's go!
We do not. We do not.
What, we can't cover the Vikings? We're going to go Vikings?
No. Oh, I'm gonna hate that one. Just so you don't know, I'm a diehard Packer fan, so I hate the Vikings with all my passion.
What? We're not gonna talk about Sam Darnold and how he invades the area?
No, he loses. It's okay. Plot twist: the Vikings season will collapse.
Just like,
or they'll get to the Super Bowl and lose it again. Yeah, just like it always does. Anyway,
just to give you guys a glimpse into my personal life, I am moving to Minnesota. So I have to root for the Vikings now, just to make Michael mad.
No, you honestly don't. I thought you're a good Christian, and you are worshiping Satan by worshiping the Vikings. So
no, worshiping the Cowboys is worshiping Satan.
No. That's worse than Satan. I don't know what's worse than Satan, but that's what that is.
I'm
now
a
that we've
fan
alienated at least two fan groups of NFL teams on a history podcast. Let's get around to ancient Ireland.
I will say, I don't think football fans are listening to history podcasts.
I don't know. I'm a diehard football fan, and I listen to history podcasts.
Well, I just alienated football fans.
Yeah,
I like football more.
Football. I do like soccer too. I
love soccer. Okay.
It is a good time. All right, we are way off topic.
It happens. 14 minutes in.
According to archaeological evidence, the first human being appeared in ancient Ireland around 7,000 BCE.
Damn, they're old.
Those humans transitioned from hunter-gatherer to a more of a farming agricultural society around 4,000 BCE.
Ooh, the agricultural revolution. Go into more detail, please.
We're skipping over that. Dude, you want detail? We'll get detail. Don't you get me wrong. We will get lots of detail. Finally, anywhere between 500 BCE and 300 BCE, the Celts arrive in Ireland, and they all begin migrating to Scotland. That is kind of where we're going to begin our narrative, is 500 BCE when the Celts arrive, because that's kind of the more cultural thing that we associate with Ireland, and it's the best way to start that I have figured out.
Ooh.
We'll talk about that a little bit later. But in terms of the wider cultural picture, what?
I was going to say, this is the earliest we've gotten back. And then I'm like, oh, wait, we did the Pharaohs already.
Yeah, we went back millions of years in that one. In the main one, yes, 500 BCE blows the record by about 900 years.
Well, Michael, you did it. Next thing you know, I'm going to have you do like the thousands BC just to talk about the the Hittites and all that.
The Sumerians and the Babylonians and
yes.
The Persians.
The Persians.
We have there's enough Persian podcasts. We don't need to do that.
This is Trevor's podcast t-shirt. I'm wearing a History of Persia t-shirt right now, which is funny. I'm also on like a bunch of pain meds, so this is going to be a great episode.
I'm very excited. This is going to be a good time. In terms of the wider cultural picture for the Anglo-Celtic Isles, and I'm drinking Irish whiskey, so, you know, because we're in Ireland, I felt the need to do that.
So we're playing drunk history.
We're doing real good right now. All right, so at the moment, we have the Gaels in Ireland, the Picts in Scotland, and we have the Brythonic tribes in England and Wales. That was my mouse going flying across the room. It's fine. The Isles were ruled by decentralized warrior kings, and they ruled from hill forts, which helped maintain control of the surrounding countryside, and that's basically all they had. Combat would be between the warrior classes of different regions, and it was highly ritualistic combat drenched in honor culture. The Celtic society placed druids, kings, and warriors at the top of their hierarchy. Artisans are below them, and subsistence farmers, which was 90% of the population, are at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Druids are ridiculously powerful. There are stories where a druid could walk in the middle of a battlefield between two tribes and make it stop on a dime, which is insane.
Do you think we can do that in D&D?
That'd be real. That'd have to be a level 20 druid power.
Oh, just
you just walk in any battle and just stop. That'd be a great level 20 power. That'd be awesome. Make it happen. You're a DM. I'm not. I'm a player.
I'll be close enough for you to. Oh, yeah. We can actually play together.
We can.
I am making a new game, so.
Ooh, I'm excited.
Yeah. All right, anyway, sorry. Okay, so druids have lots of power. I love druids anyways. I hate the fact that we lost so much of druidic history because some guy decided to burn everything down when he invaded England.
Julius Caesar.
Oh, what a dick.
To be fair, not just him is the problem.
No, there was a series of genocides, but you'll get into that.
Well, yeah, that and the druids themselves were very tight-lipped. And yeah, even the lowliest level of druids were so well respected above the highest artisan because they were the keepers of knowledge in Celtic society. Part of the reason we know nothing is because everything is stemmed from oral traditions. And because of that, for some religious reason, they were not allowed to write anything down. Religious down, which is key, because apparently the Celts were allowed to write other things down, just not religious things, which I find fascinating.
That is very fascinating.
And it is one of the main reasons we know little to nothing about this culture and people. Let me be clear. There's no such thing as true druidism. Those people who stand at Stonehenge in white robes and stuff, that's not, we know nothing. They can't know anything. So when people try and think of druids, they think of that kind of stuff. We know nothing, which is unfortunate because it is a pretty cool thing. Yeah.
We are the knights who say knee. Can be a shrubbery.
It. Despite not writing things down, the Celts loved the arts and epic tales. Some kings were even known as world-class poets and were expected to be world-class poets. And it won't be till many hundreds of years, centuries of telephone, that these stories finally get written down. People at the top of the hierarchy adorned themselves in gold. They had gold brooches, which they fastened to cloaks. They wore gold torques and bracelets and a display of power and wealth. Their weapons were works of art at the time. They prized music and feasting culture. It's a very vibrant culture. It's not just this barbaric society. It's actually pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
They had an established justice system, and it will be written around the 3rd century CE, known as Brehon, Brehon. This system... provided justice, not just based on social standing, it was also the most advanced and equality-driven law structures.
Hell yeah, I like this.
So women were held as equal footing as men, and they could be warriors, judges, priestesses in their own right.
Wait, what kind of society is this that lets women do this? Come on.
A barbaric society.
How dare they? They should be civilized and just give them no rights.
I know, terrible.
I know. Ugh.
I mean, even if they were married for political reasons, wives were partners with their husbands. They were not property.
And the barbarity.
This baffled Roman invaders. Just absolutely just shocked the hell out of them.
Absolutely barbarous. Salt the lands. Burn it down. Destroy it. Just like Carthage.
And despite what Roman propaganda would tell you, the Celts were well connected through trade that reached all the way down in the Mediterranean well before Rome expanded its borders past Italy. And there's going to be times when Rome is struggling financially and the Irish will be living their best life.
Wait. If we're doing from this early, are we going to cover Boadicea?
Mm-hmm.
Boudica?
Yeah, probably. Probably. She's kind of part of an important story, so that shaped the islands. Yeah.
Ooh, okay, I'm here for it.
Yeah, getting excited now. I have been so excited for this series. Ever since I started Quest for Power, this was the series I wanted to do, and I've been working on how to do it for a long time. So all five seasons were a way for me to figure out how to do it, and I think I've come up with something. Probably not good, but we'll try it.
And all it took was me saying, I want the goddamn Heptarchy, and look at us now.
Yep, that's all it took, and before you opened it up an avalanche.
We're going to be in season six forever.
Oh, yeah. Years.
It's going to be like Revolutions.
Probably. One of the most important sites to already exist before we even begin our narrative is the Hill of Tara and the County Meath. At the summit rises the Stone of Destiny, where it is said that the High Kings of Ireland were crowned in the past. The oldest monument at the famous Hill of Tara is the Mound of Hostages, which dates back to 3000 BCE.
Ooh.
And as the name, it is said, you know, the name comes from the fact, and this is going to be a very big thing as we go on, kings exchanged hostages at this site. The more hostages you held as a ruler, the more powerful you were.
That makes sense. I looked it up here, so we should probably post this on the website.
Yeah, we definitely will.
But that's interesting, the fact that, so just so I can give people a visual, the place, the Hill of Tara that you're talking about, it has a pillar in front of it. I'm guessing the mound is in the back.
I think so, yeah.
Okay. It has people on it, so they're the new hostages.
It might be, or I don't remember if that's the exact it. I would have to look at it.
That's what it says, is the Leofal, Stone of Destiny, okay, atop the Hill of Tara, with a mound of hostages in the background. Yeah.
Yep, then that would be it. Okay.
Yes, I see the mound of hostages. Ooh. Sorry, I got interested in seeing what it looked like.
Yep, okay, there we go. Yes, I recognize that one. Yes, that is the hill then.
That is the mound of hostages, that's pretty cool. Yeah. It is so cool.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty awesome. I'd love to go there.
We got to do it. Quest for Power trip. What should we say about everything?
Oh, yes. Yeah, exactly. Take a drink.
if you're playing shots, if you're playing a game with us, you can always play the, oh, we should do a Quest for Power trip. That's what should be on a bingo card.
Yeah, so as I've kind of alluded to, I have been racking my brain on how to present this long, complicated history to get us to a place where we can begin a narrative. So this is Irish political history up to this point. It's a giant mess of tiny kingdoms being ruled by other kingdoms, which are formed into provinces, and which are all eventually ruled in High King, who is really ruler of Ireland in name only. I would say, so we got like hundreds of kings and queens running around. It's not some unified political entity like some people want to make it seem. Best comparison I can give, and this is far off is the Holy Roman Empire. And even that is far off. It's like, imagine Westeros and Game of Thrones before Aegon's conquest, except there's a High King like in the Elder Scrolls Skyrim histories. And that's kind of the closest that I can make sense of what I researched. And that is why the history is so freaking complicated around this time, is because it's just tiny, tiny kingdoms that eventually will build up into bigger ones, but it starts very, very decentralized. That kind of is... And it's kind of in the culture of Ireland, and why they generally have a hard time fighting against invaders is because of the fact of they're too busy killing each other that to worry about who's going to come after them.
Hey, and, sounds like the fall of Rome.
Yeah, and speaking of which, these kings have a habit of committing atrocities, killing each other because of those atrocities, which descend into more violence and vengeance of their descendants as they continue the horrific cycle of rape, murder, betrayal, war.
Oh, so they're basically doing a war guild.
Probably the reason a war guild exists is because of this. This is before a war guild.
Ooh, this will be fun. Bring in
it is the norm. It is the norm for kings to be killed by their successor. A king has done something truly special if he dies of natural causes.
And too bad we don't read their deaths.
We do. It's part of the. It's part of the.
Bardic inspiration.
Bardic inspiration. And so, before we jump in the narrative, big fucking disclaimer here. Normally, I say history is 80-20 fact and fiction. This is 1% fact and 99% fiction, and it's going to be this way for a long time. This is a lot of stories that were brought down by generations and by chronicles. So there's a lot of leeway that goes around all these stories.
What, are you saying we can't trust the chroniclers?
Generally not, no. Considering this happened in around 500 BCE. Oh, that's the other thing. I'm not going to, unless it specifically tells us how many years, we're not going to try and guess the ages. The main ones we have are these two chronicles. It's Annals of the Four Masters, Geoffrey Keating. Oh, there's three of them. And, oh, fuck, I forgot the third one.
Gregory of Tours.
No, not for Ireland.
Thank God.
No. I escaped him.
For now.
And they're off by their years. So we're not even going to do years. We're just going to do the story, because that's ultimately what matters. That is the history of Ireland. That's their culture that we're going to be bred into.
Hell yeah. Let's do it. Let's jump into the shiz.
So we're thrown into an unusual situation. There's three grandsons of a previous High King Agamemnon, and that are elected to High King of Ireland. So all three of them were elected to High King of Ireland.
Okay.
Their names are Iathruath, Dithorba, and Simbeth. You're going to have to work with me on these pronunciations and just deal with it, because I can't. It's Irish. This stuff is insane. Anyway.
Okay. Are we going to... Who are we following?
What do you mean, who are we following?
Are we going to pick a grandson, or are we going to follow the lives of all three?
Let's see. We'll see. The catch was that they were to rule in 7-year terms in rotation, beginning with Iathruad.
That's a fucking horrible idea.
So they each ruled for 2 7-year terms.
That's a fucking horrible idea.
And we know nothing about their reigns during this time.
Well, they didn't kill each other.
At the end of his third stint, Iath, for some reason, drowned himself in a waterfall, which was later named after him, called Iathruad, or the Red's Waterfall.
Well, that happens.
The two other kings will then go on to complete their third terms of office as High Kings, 7 years each. What we didn't know till now was that Iath had a fiery daughter named Maka Mong Ruad, or Maka of the Red Hair. She was named after the goddess Maka, who in Celtic stories was a sovereignty goddess associated with the province of Ulster in Ireland. Best that I could find is that in Celtic studies in general is that A sovereignty goddess is a goddess who personifies a territory and will give legitimacy to a king in that region by having sex with him or marrying him.
Wait a second. Oh, it's like getting Excalibur from the lake.
Yeah, kind of. That's funny. Yeah,
I didn't vote for you.
In addition to that, the goddess Maka is believed to have been associated with land, fertility, kingship, war, and horses. Kind of a broad goddess type deal. Back to our Maka. When Simbath finished up his 7 years, it would have been Aeth's rule to turn to rule. Except, you know, he's kind of dead. Kind of hard to rule. And Maka claimed that since her father was dead, it was her right to rule as his heir, to rule as High Queen in his stead for his term of 7 years.
Okay.
How do you think these guys are going to respond?
Oh, they're going to fucking hate this. They're like, yeah, no, you're a woman. You get nothing of this.
Yeah, they laughed in her face, saying there's no way they're going to give up their sovereignty to the gentler sex. Maka's response was, I'll show you what the gentler sex is, followed by a declaration of war. The realm was put to the torch and the dogs of war were let loose.
Oh, I'm into this.
The two sides slammed into each other during a pitched battle. In the heat of battle, Dithorba was slain. His sons and forces immediately panicked and fled the battlefield into the wilds of Connaught.
Okay.
Which cool, is another cool. Irish kind of little history, which is a little Irish region. Dithorba's sons were then sent peace terms stating that they would back down if Maka would give up her sovereignty during their father's term to them, you know, like continue the seven. Mm-hmm. And she sent a simple message. I defeated you and your father on the battlefield. The right to rule is no longer yours from the moment you ran like cowards.
Damn.
Maka and Simbath then met up, so this is the other king, under parley to discuss terms.
Mm-hmm.
She rolled a persuasion check with advantage because of her beauty and her grace, and he agreed to wed her and combine their forces instead
Isn't
of fighting
her uncle?
Her. Yeah. I didn't think of that, but yeah.
Oh, girl. Oh. Why? You married... We made fun of all the incest. This is just actual, like, this is your uncle.
Yeah, I mean, it's royalty.
There's a line! at least your first cousin, with royalty at least.
Well, it could be her cousin, because it's not brothers, they're grandsons.
Okay.
Yeah, three grandsons. So it could be a second cousin.
Okay, fine.
Or a
fine,
third
fine.
Cousin or something like that. Because they didn't say sons. So I'm guessing that they were not.
That related.
Yeah. They're okay. Still related, just not as, yeah.
It's still incest.
It definitely is, which we are going to get a lot of. Actually, not so much in Ireland, now that I think about it. In other places, we definitely will. Anyway. Well. Despite being a new bride and the first High Queen in Irish history, Dithorba's sons were still at large, and Maka, yeah, she wasn't about that. Mm-hmm. She disguised herself as a leper to travel to Connaught completely unmolested by herself. She managed to track the five brothers who were carousing around a fire, you know, you can just see this, and they're roasting a wild boar.
Yum.
She then removed her leper costume and put on clothing that highlighted her beauty. These guys have been hiding in the woods for a while, so they probably haven't seen a woman in quite some time.
They probably fucking stink.
Maka revealed herself to them. And, you know, they had to know it was her. Because they were kind of, you know, they're all in the same court, you know. But we're told that her beauty inflamed their passions.
Oh, they got hard.
Oh, yeah. And one by one, they tried to bed her in the wilderness. Each time, at the right moment, she was able to flip the script by overpowering them and tie them up.
Hell yeah.
I can't seem to figure out how logistically this happened. I don't know how she would be able to lure them in one by one without the others thinking, maybe something's up.
I mean, it could be, oh... my brother didn't satiate her. Let me try it myself. And then
there you go.
And yeah, she came back after like 30 seconds, so you said they haven't seen a woman that beautiful. Long.
Oh, that's true. Oh, beautiful. And she then thanked them for cooking the boar for her and ate it in front of them. And then she forced them at sword point back to Ulster.
Damn. I like her. She's fiery.
Yeah. This had to be a sight to behold. Can you imagine when she returned to Ulster with captured princesses and princes in chains at sword point?
Just like, yeah, just her being a boss bitch, you know?
I can imagine the king and the other like lords going, all right, mental note, don't piss her off.
I like her.
The men of Ulster wanted to behead the sons, but Maka, she had other ideas what to do with them. She, in typical Irish fashion, she enslaved them, because there's going to be a lot of slavery in Ireland, and forced them to build Emain Maka, or the Navan Fort, which is to be the new capital of Ulster. A little note, in the 1960s, archaeologists excavated the site that it was found, and it was around the site, and it was found that it was originally built around 350 BCE. Ooh. So, based on that, her reign could be taken someplace around that time.
Okay. That puts us around the Hellenistic Age.
Oh, wow. That's cool. I'm so glad that you know all these dates, because I definitely don't.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool to think about. That's wild.
She's doing this while Alexander's running around.
Yeah, that's insane to think about. Oh, that's really cool.
Alexander Standard, and so you can roll Persia tie-in.
Yeah, there you go. We know pretty much nothing about their relationship between Maka and her former enemy, United, you know, turned husband. We don't know if their union produced any children. What we do know is they became foster parents to a boy named Ugain, son of E-O-C-H-U, Euchu, Buadach, B-U-A-D-A-C-H.
No clue.
EB. We'll call him EB.
Okay, EB.
So 7 years passed, and then the royal house was struck by a plague. High King Simbath, her husband, succumbed to the pestilence, and he died, leaving Maka as sole reigning High Queen of Ireland.
Ooh, nice.
Simbath is written down in the annals of history as the first king of Emain Maka, with Maka being the first queen of this Ulster capital.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of something for him too. 7 years go by with Maka's rule. We have no information what was going on during this time. We do know of one individual that was active at this time, and his name, I'm just going to call him the Red King. One day at court, Maka and this Red King, they were discussing courtly matters, and then subtly during the conversation, the Red King slipped a dagger into his hands and thrusted it right between Maka's ribs. Her white dress turned red as it soaked up the blood before her body fell to the ground, the life out of her eyes.
What?
That's the reign. That's the life and reign of Maka of the Red Hair, daughter of Iath Ruad, son of Baedarn, son of Arkjamar, queen and founder of Emain Maka, High Queen of Ireland.
Maka, no, I liked her. She was fun.
She was really fun. Are you ready to rate her?
I guess. Okay. Royal power.
All right, as I just said, we won't be discussing lengths or reigns for a while because we don't have accurate data. But it appears in her case she ruled for 7 years jointly and then with her husband and then 7 years by herself. According to the story, I find it a little convenient it's 7 years, but just we'll run with it. We have nothing to go off of. Her sovereignty was not given to her. She earned it through battle and marital negotiations. She was able to single-handedly capture 5 princes, enslave them, and force them to build her capital.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, and she kicked Dithorba's ass in war.
Yeah. I know what I want to give her already. Perfect and? 10.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my god, the fact that she's a woman and is able to do all that and basically beat her, like, her cousins, well, kill one in battle, marry the other one, and then basically get the sons of the other one, trick them into like into doing everything and doing it. Oh my god, she's great.
Yep.
Oh, that's a 10.
Now you know why I was like, so excited for this episode.
Okay.
10 as well, obviously.
That's a 20 for royal power. Infamy.
All right, I can't nor slave. I'm just get this over out. You know, slavery is bad, obviously, but that is that's the times. I don't know how we're gonna treat this. I know certain podcasts have treated it as, you know, it's automatically bad. I can't. I don't think that I can, because I like to think of history in the context of the time, and at the time, it is just accepted. From what we can gather, it's not like it's in the 1700s, in the 1600s, you know, where people are getting, where we actually see written literature that it's wrong. What are your feelings on something like that?
Yeah, so the way I feel about that is, I don't know, it's hard, because I typically deal with serfs, but like, we don't really talk about them. And if this is just a thing that's just like a regular thing in life, then it's not chattel slavery. It's just capturing people and forcing them to work with the expectation that you're going to take good care of them, which it's not like the chattel slavery that America does. However, yeah, I am going to give it a token one for that, just for the time. But we could share a half point between that and make it a one on my.
I can't give anything. I like to rule. I like to look at things in terms of the time. When I think of infamy, how were these acts at the time? Maybe infamy is a woman doing all these things, but I'm not going to give her anything for that.
Okay, I don't think she did anything bad.
Yeah,
I'm going to give her zero.
All right, zero.
That's zero for infamy. Oath of devotion.
Got nothing. Nothing about druids or anything like that.
Zero. Bardic inspiration.
She was told she couldn't rule because she was a woman, proceeded to kick ass and take names, used the promise of sex and power to lure and overpower five enemy princes before enslaving them and forcing them to build her capital.
And then dying with a dagger in her belly.
Yeah. I mean, that's gonna... spoiler alert, that's gonna happen a lot.
Yeah, but it's the first one we have, so...
By the way, the sources just say assassinated. I came up with the flourish.
That's fine.
Gotta give something.
I want to give it a 10.
I'd have to agree.
Okay, that's a 20 for Bardic Inspiration. Alrighty. Legacy.
Alright, so based on the story I told, she founded Ulster's ancient capital, and it's going to continue to be a major part in the narrative to come.
Okay, that's already 5 points for me.
That's what I was thinking. I can't think.
Emin Maka?
Yeah, Emin Maka. I don't see... Legacy is going to be very hard for these kings to do, just the way Ireland kings work. It's not always hereditary. In fact, most of the time it's not. Most of the time it's whoever kills you becomes the king.
Makes sense.
So...
Usurper's Paradise.
Yep.
I'm going to give her... I think, what? She built Emin Maka. She had Ulster be... She basically built up the cap. Is Emin Maka the same thing as the capital of Ulster?
That is the capital of Ulster. It's the ancient capital of Ulster, like for the, I want to say the Celtics, the Celts.
But she's also famous for being like the only like female High King, right?
I mean, yeah, but that's to me Bardic Inspiration more than Legacy.
But it's still a Legacy for me as well, because it's like she's the only one.
I guess.
I mean, I'm gonna give her seven.
I can't think of another one. I'm gonna stick with my five.
Okay. That's a 12 for Legacy. Are you ready for her total score?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Okay. With a 20 in royal power, a 0 in infamy and devotion, a 20 in reconciliation, and a 12 in oath of devotion, that brings her down to a total of 52. 12
in Legacy, you mean?
Yeah, 12 in Legacy. Brings her to a total of 52, which means that she is now in... Oh. Interesting. I like this. That puts her in second place.
That's wild, because overall, that's going to be like... That's going to be like the high, that's going to be like one of the higher ends of Ireland, because we just don't have much information. So we're going to get a lot of got nothing for a lot of those for categories. Basically, the way I put it is if I can get enough of a story, we'll rate you. Otherwise, we're going to just skip right over you.
Alrighty. So.
Alright. So based on that, in the annals of history, should she be crowned as a legendary queen, just good enough to retire as a lesser lady, or should she be burned at the stake?
Well, just like her hair, she needs to be set on fire.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, no, I've had this on gold for a while.
Oh, yeah.
A legendary monarch.
Oh, yeah, legendary queen. Absolute oh, my badass. God, yes. So much fun. I was so excited for this one. I thought, what a hell of a way to kick off Ireland when I saw this story. I was like, yep, we're going to begin here.
Oh, yeah, no. I am very excited because it's one of those, like, it's a short one, but it's a fun one.
Are you glad now that I went all the way back?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I mean, I knew you were going to do it. It was just one of those, like, I do, like, here's the thing, guys, with Michael, you can't just tell him, like, oh, I want to do this one thing. I knew if I said, let's do the Heptarchy, he's going to go as far back as possible to make a story. So I pick these things so I can get a nice, long podcast out of it. and me not having to do any of the work other than editing and reacting to it with all these awesome one-liners. So, Maka Mung Ruad, congratulations. You are a legendary monarch. Alrighty. So, who's next?
Well, let's run through the outro.
Okay, fine.
Brings us to the end of Maka of the Red Hair. Let us know what you thought of her. I thought she's a badass. Roberto thought she's a badass. You can reach us at Facebook, Instagram at Quest for Power, or email us at questforpowerpod@gmail.com. We're also on Roberto's domain Twitter, which he refers to as Never X. What's the little line on that one?
It's a @quest4power.
No pod at the end? I thought there was a pod.
You know what? That's a great question. Let me double check. Because the thing is, I just have it on my phone and on my computer. And I'm signed out on my computer for some reason. Because I deleted all my cash.
Yeah.
So let me check my other Twitter because I use two different out things. This one's easy to find, so it's Quest for Power Pod. It's @QuestForPowerPod.
Number four.
We'll put number four for four.
As we've discussed, this podcast is researched and scripted by me and edited by Roberto. It takes a lot of research and
time to edit.
A lot to research and produce time. We love doing it. If you'd like to support the show, you can become a member of our Royal Court. Talk with us on Discord. We'd love to talk about history. That's why we do this. You also gain exclusive access to extra episodes, and you could hear my absolute hatred for learning Egyptian history.
I love it, but I always have to sit there.
Drove me nuts. Our first members episodes will be on our new campaign, Curse of Power. We're going to get two episodes of that, and then I decided that we're going to go to Westeros because I unless you people want to do Egypt.
Do Egypt.
Until someone joins and says we have to do Egypt. Nope. That's at the $10 voting tier. Otherwise, Anyway, if that's not your thing, you can give us a 5-star review on your podcatcher of choice, or just tell someone about this podcast. It goes a long way. Next episode, we're going to pick up right where we left off. Maka drowning in her own blood. And at the end, we'll raid a king.
But what's their name?
We'll find out next episode. If you can't wait to hear what happens next, you can listen to the next three episodes right now by becoming a member of our nobility.
Oh, so it's a three-episode thing now. Ha-ha!
Yes, basically this story arc is going to span four episodes, and I think it's like more of the prologue of the Irish kingdom. So,
okay,
a little fun with that.
Cool.
So, with that, the High Queen is dead.
Is it a king or is it a queen?
It's a king.
Long live the High King.
I did say we will raid a king.
You did, and I forgot. I'm more mad about Maka dying. Okay. God damn it. Search. What do you mean, no pronunciation guide from the Irish tales? But it's pronounced Maka. Manka Mong Ruad. Or Ruath. Ardmacha. Amhin Macha. Macha. Macha.
Macha. I can't do that.
You just did it.
That's true.
Macha.
I want to.
Okay.